Welcome to Swimming Here with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Anytime. I'm going to go through media night descended. I'm just going to go through the Pro Football Talk headlines to just know how much news tonight generated. Chris Jones doesn't expect to win Defensive Player of the Year and doesn't care. Patrick Mahomes' ankle is better than last week. Isn't that true of us all? I guess you could say. Orlando Brown on his future. I want to stay here, but business is business, which, you know, spot the lie. It's, you know, you'd say about that one. Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach. Lane Johnson is playing well through injury. That's no surprise. He's one of the best ever. Yep. Eric Bieniemy. Here you go. As far as offensive coordinator stuff, right now I'm where my feet are. So obviously a pretty newsy night here. Eric Bieniemy confirms he's Jeffrey Valeri sounds ready to give Jalen Hurts a second big contract. I would certainly hope so. He's a Super Bowl quarterback. So that is just, I mean, any website would have done this. It's just kind of a generation of what Media Night produces. So with that, we have two things tonight. Lindsey Jones and Roger Sherman join me to recap Media Night, the night that was. I mean, it's basically just like, you know, all, what, 106 players kind of standing around talking, saying different pleasantries. We get to some of the absurdities of that, and then a couple of GMs, a couple of coaches. You don't learn a whole lot. We wanted to recap and go through it. And then Jared Goff, Lions quarterback, with a really interesting interview. He said some really, really funny stuff about, he's planning his wedding, but, you know, also Dan Campbell, the Lions, the difference between the Detroit sports fan and a Los Angeles sports fan. Really, really funny stuff. So let's get to Lindsey and Roger, and then Jared.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to Sunday's Day with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark, joined for a Monday night Slow News Day episode. We just got done with Media Night, the most thrilling of all nights. Lindsey Jones, my normal co-host, is here. Hello,
what's
Lindsey.
Up? How are you?
And Roger Sherman is here. Hello, Roger.
Your abnormal co-host. She's your normal co-host.
I mean, you've been on the show once before?
Okay, no need to put it like...
No, I'm not. It's not like you're a debutante. Jared Goff is also on this episode, just so you know. Any reaction to that, Roger?
He's after this?
Yeah.
Who's in charge of...
People want to know about Media Night and our observations from it first, and then we get to Jared. He gave me some great stuff on the difference between Detroit fans and LA fans, which you can tap in for. Some great... He's planning a wedding. And some Dan Campbell stuff. So there you go. Anytime you want to talk on this podcast, you can, Roger.
Well, the thing is, I think you're asking us to talk about Media Night, which is like one of the strangest events on the NFL calendar. It's a mix between there are people like trying to ask reserve offensive linemen questions for their stories about whatever detailed thing that they have going on. And also there's this dude who shows up every year in a barrel and he may be naked under there.
Sure.
And
he's naked. Given laws.
I mean, the barrel covers the region in question.
Sure.
And he doesn't ask any questions. I think he just stands there and waits for people to talk to him.
He does, yeah.
A lot of people take photos with him. Worrying. Troubling.
Especially if he's potentially nude.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot more questions
than
answers
on barrel
guy. I'm
not sure there are
a lot.
There's a
lot more. Why does he get credentialed? What does his credential say? Does he apply and just have like a trumped up media outlet? And then he shows up with a barrel. Is the NFL fooled by this every year? He shows up with a barrel and nothing else. And the NFL is like, this is a good yearly tradition.
you said, I believe I quote, if you go back 45 seconds, there are laws. But that's the thing. There are no laws in
lawless.
Media night.
This is a lawless media night. Lindsay Jones, you've been doing this for a long time. It's confirmed. More useful than you think.
Yes.
But not exactly useful. So you talked to Brett Veach for a while tonight, the Kansas City general manager. Talked to Howie for a little bit, the Eagles general manager. What was your big takeaway from tonight?
Yeah, I mean, these just are two teams that kind of get it. Do you know? I mean, I guess like...
Yeah.
There's not a lot of... Like, there's shenanigans that are going on in media night down on the floor.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of like... They weren't really participating in the silliness. Like... Yes, the Eagles roster has turned over a lot since 2018, but there's very much a sense of like, we've been here before. We know how to act on this stage. And I always look at teams, leagues, all this type of stuff where your head coach and your quarterback kind of set the tone for things. And these are two teams that have fairly serious head coach and quarterback. Yeah. So if you came into this like hoping to learn a lot about Jalen Hurts, that's not going to happen tonight.
He didn't open up.
No, but he's just it, like
you open up to the Lucha Libre guy.
I mean, I think he was like
I saw him having a heart to heart with the barrel guy.
He probably did, but like it's just not that sort of forum,
no.
right?
No.
But if you want to go and you know spend some time with Howie Roseman or Brett Veach or you know some of the players down on the floor, it can actually be really it can be really useful, especially if you haven't gotten to talk to those guys all year.
What did Veach have to say about Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, I think he I asked him some questions and some other people there were asking him questions about just kind of like the evolution and maturation.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes and how that has all gone. And I know you talked to them last summer during your training camp tour about kind of what happened during the 2021 season and how he kind of evolved. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of, well, what's happened next? And what was the evolution of this offense without Tyreek Hill left or since Tyreek Hill left and how did those steps go? And then there was also, you know, the other storyline of the Super Bowl, right, is all the connections between Philadelphia and Kansas City and the through lines between Andy Reid and both of those staffs. So, you know, I think there's a lot of just like reflection.
Yeah. Even Brett Veach worked for the Eagles for a while. Brett Veach is obsessed with Pennsylvania high school football. Like there's so much of a connection. Howie was talking about that and there's no bad blood. Like I was watching I don't know if you've ever seen it, the Jeffrey Lurie goodbye to Andy Reid. And it was like, he fired him like an hour earlier. And the video is like, you're never going to make me a better guy than Andy Reid. And Andy Reid's like, go Eagles. And I'm like, what is this? This is the weirdest firing I've ever seen in my entire life. And so there's really, I mean, it was so kind of perfect. The first call after that Andy Reid took after he got fired was Clark Hunt. If you remember, the Cardinals were trying to hire him for a while. Like everything worked out for everybody.
Which is odd.
Really? And also like the Chip Kelly, like Howie Roseman got demoted. Howie Roseman moved the marketing department, the analytics department into the marketing department. And then like analytics came back in Philadelphia, like everybody's where they need to be. It was a weird road to that. I mean, the Alex Smith years with Kansas City where things were good, but never great. Like it's amazing to see everybody be here and two franchises in Andy Reid's image. And that was the one thing that Howie talked about a little bit is how much he learned from Andy, from Joe Banner, you know, some of their contract stuff, the way they just build their team around the quarterback. Like, I know that Andy Reid's not going to talk about this, so it's not going to give the attention it deserves. This is the Andy Reid Bowl in the sense that, like, the Eagles are built in his image.
So there's the way Media Night works is first one team and they stand around for an hour and then they take a break and then the second team comes and they stand around for an hour. But in between, they do a little shtick where like the big players from each team come out and they like get interviewed by, I think, Jay Glazer and Scott Hansen or something like
Irvin?
That.
Michael Irvin
and Sal Powell.
Sal Powell.
Yeah.
But the thing that stood out to
Sal
me
Powell
was
in a barrel
as they were doing this. Like,
I'm not going to unsee that.
They made a line and Andy Reid was at the end of the line and they wanted to get to the part where Sal Powell like interviewed them, but he was having such long conversations with the players from the Eagles that used to be his players.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there aren't many things that you see at Media Day that you're like, that's a cool thing to see. But just there was a connection there.
Yeah, that it's amazing. It's amazing. And I want to talk about the facts. First of all, there are three players, I believe, on the Eagles who were drafted by Andy Reid. And that's kind of what we're alluding to here. The thing is there are a lot of veterans on both teams. And that makes, you mentioned the roster turnover with the Eagles from their last Super Bowl. But there are enough guys who are there. I talked to a Chiefs guy who was talking about how every time you go, it doesn't become more normal. Because I asked if it became more normal and he was like, he got mad at me. He was like, no, it never becomes normal. This is special. But you just know what to do every single year. And they had the one COVID Super Bowl, which is totally different. But like having a good example, having a family member in charge of tickets, like everybody thinks that seems like some superfluous thing or like you don't really need to do it. Like you are going to be up until 1 a.m. dealing with people you went to elementary school with. If you don't have a spouse, finding a sibling, finding a cousin, finding a parent, whatever, to be like your ticket person. Otherwise, you're going to be inundated with shit, like stuff like that. And what's interesting is that even though there is turnover and the Kansas City guys that I talk about how many young guys there are on the team, there's still enough older guys who can teach those guys that lesson. And it's not totally different. So everything, you know, being in the hotel all week, doing the media shit, like both of these teams have enough people to where being in the Super Bowl, I know this is the dumbest thing I'm ever going to say in my life. Sometimes being in the Super Bowl can be a distraction.
Whoa.
And that's not going to happen this year.
And you're saying that experience matters?
I'm saying the Super Bowl is its own beast.
It is kind of weird that like it's the game that you will be, it's the most important game of your career and the one you'll be remembered by, and also has the stupidest possible run-up of any game that you'll play in your entire life.
I once heard someone make the case, someone smart in soccer, the World Cup just shouldn't count. It's just completely different than anything else you do in soccer. Right. Like there's too much pressure and you're in a country, this country you've been in for a month. And like, it's just not analogous to like the, you know, 36, 38 game season in soccer. Right. Like the Super Bowl, it's just a completely different thing. Like the halftime is a million years long.
The Super Bowl
kicking off
count.
At like 3:15. It should count, but you need to be ready for it. And like, or it shouldn't count. If you lose, it shouldn't count. This is my antidote to rings culture. Is the Super Bowl shouldn't count?
I don't know how we got here.
I will say, Howie Roseman told me one time that his big thing is if you get to the Final Four, he studies all the Final Four teams, and then he like puts them in a spreadsheet and figures out height, weight, like colleges, just to figure out making sure they're not going to miss anything. So it sounds to me, I'm putting words in his mouth, that just being at the Final Four is their
Yeah, because in college basketball, we talk about the Final Four.
And no one ever gives, you know.
Yeah, no one's like the Niners.
No one's giving Joe Burrow a ring. We're not hanging a banner.
Josh Johnson's not going to get a...
Josh Johnson played in the Final Four.
I know.
It's a Final Four participant.
Blake Bortles, Final
Dante
Four
Calabria.
Participant. Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm like, this is a roundabout way of saying, like, the thing about media night is you just get to learn how these guys are processing it. And I mean, for me, especially with media night, like this comes into production. I mean, you probably remember when there were not fans at media night. Now there are 5,000 people chanting Eagles the whole time.
They used to not really even have like. It's weird, like media at media night. Like it didn't used to be like a made for television event.
Right.
My first media day was actually during the day. Mm-hmm. First of all.
Sure.
Like in the sun. Yep. It was in the stadium. And like guys were on
That's
risers.
That's how it was
guys
for
were,
like 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the good old days.
Except for Joe Namath, weirdly, I think his media day was at a pool.
Like a poolside.
Yeah, it was a pool. Yeah.
Yeah. Volunteered to be the pool reporter this week, that's what I thought was going to happen. And that's not. I have to write stories.
Is it weird that you're a dignified journalist, you're a pool reporter, you run the Writers Association, you deal every day with the NFL league office and all of this stuff, and yet you work with Roger Sherman and I? Is that weird for you? Like how
Sometimes.
Undignified this is for you?
A couple of weeks ago, Roger wrote a story and it had like 4 penis references in the lead. So that moment.
Roger, any comment
on
that?
I've written so many. I've written so many dick stories. And then you had to read my 80 for Brady review, too.
I did.
She's the president of the Pro Football Writers Association.
I will say, I mean, this is way too like inside the ringer. I definitely sent your lead to our copy chief. And I said, can we do this? And he Googled all of the times that we had published the word cock.
It was the story about how people took big dick Nick and then big.
Yeah, it was a good
blank
moment.
Brock. I don't know why I just censored it out after
shout
putting
out,
it on the website.
Shout out Craig Gaines.
Did anybody learn anything
about
football tonight?
I learned something about the human spirit, Kevin.
What about the wolf spirit?
What about Roger danced with a wolf?
I actually did.
I just before we get to the wolf thing and the fact that Roger's credential headshot, which we cannot show for security reasons, they get very upset if you show your credential on.
We could probably show just the headshot though.
Let's not risk it until Monday. He looks like the Unabomber.
Just show yours, buddy. Show it.
I do not look like the Unabomber. I like many other things, but not the Unabomber. It's my ringer headshot.
I did actually earlier when I kicked it off. When I said some people are out there just trying to interview backup offensive linemen, it was me. I was the person doing it. Did I learn anything about football? A little.
I learned that Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce are brothers.
Oh, yeah. That was good. They had Mama Kelce at media night.
They had a dramatic reveal.
She probably should have had her own riser.
Honestly, she's going to be like the most interviewed like person this week. Yeah, like most airtime. It's not the same as the Brady Quinn, AJ Hawk.
Well, what about the Harbaugh Bowl?
It wasn't as cute.
I think it was. This is Harbaugh erasure. the Harbaugh parents had a conference call that like the Monday or Tuesday of that week, and they were unbelievably folksy and charming.
Wow. Yeah. No one talks about this.
Well, I mean, I don't think in 5 years anyone's going to talk about the Kelce Bowl.
If they show her for the entire Super Bowl in the crowd, like they did,
they absolutely will. This needs to be a prop. I mean, I'm sure there is a prop.
Yeah,
but this absolutely needs to be like tracked.
Mama Kelce,
like the ultimate. If you talk to any 2000s college football fan about the game where wouldn't stop showing
Catherine Webb,
Brady Quinn's sister,
who was AJ Hawk's girlfriend, and she was wearing a split jersey.
I saw AJ Hawk today and thought about that.
It was like
over at the FanDuel set.
It's like a unlocked memory if you talk to a college football fan, because it was literally like they showed the game for an hour and 2 hours of split jersey coverage.
Let's get to the wolf. You dance with the wolf tonight.
I didn't dance with the wolf.
Dances with Wolves, starring Roger Sherman.
You are saving that one up.
I was not. I literally thought of them, but it's a very easy joke.
The funny thing is there were NFL players in there who play in the NFL and will start in the Super Bowl on Sunday, who are just walking around with no one talking to them.
Yeah.
There was a line of people to talk to the Kansas City Chiefs mascot, Casey Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
They had risers. They have risers for 11 players per 10 players per team and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking around, and for the Chiefs, I felt specifically bad because so many people were clustered on Mahomes and Kelce that L'Jarius Sneed was just chilling.
Yeah.
He was just hanging out by himself for the entire...
So I guess we learned that L'Jarius Sneed is out of concussion protocol. That would be like a football thing we learned
that for the game. But anyway,
there we go. That's my football nugget.
So I'm making fun of the people who waited online to talk to the wolf, but also I asked the wolf why he exists, and he danced at me instead of engaging with the existential question.
Here was my wolf interaction. Was my daughter... I tried to FaceTime with my daughter during the break, and she called me back while I was down on the floor. And so when I answered the phone on FaceTime, it was just Casey Wolf, and she was horrified.
I could see that.
She was like, I have no idea what's going on. And then I asked her who was going to win the Super Bowl, and she said the Eagles. So
because the Wolf was terrified.
I think so, yeah.
He's got big googly eyes. He's not exactly wolf-shaped. He's got an enormous bulbous midsection.
So, this is the first time the word bulbous has ever been on Slow News Day.
I mean, you haven't listened to the Jared Goff interview. I have a story. So Justin Thomas was there tonight. Famed major winning golfer, Justin Thomas.
Did not see him.
And he's wearing a hoodie and a hat. He was pretty low key. And so he's being swarmed by people. I took a picture with him. I knew the PGA told him, kind of gave me a heads up he was coming. And so I had like a weird, like I kind of choked on the interaction. Like I didn't have much to say because it's like, You don't want to fall into the trap where you're like trying to be like, I like golf too. Like what the fuck am I doing here? And so I just kind of like labored through two like kind of talky like making conversations questions. And I was like, he probably wants to get the hell out of this conversation. So I took a photo with him and got out. So then I'm talking to Will Brinson. I'm saying I have a horrifying experience. Not a horrifying, like a just you know, I just didn't equip myself well with Justin Thomas. So then Nora Princiati, our beloved colleague, comes up and says, I just had a horrible, awkward experience with Justin Thomas. And I was like, how is this possible? We were not close to each other. And what happened is that she didn't know why this gentleman was being swarmed. And she said, what does that person do? Is he like a kicker for the Eagles? And Justin Thomas overheard Nora and just sheepishly said, "I play golf."
Ooh. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Wow.
R.I.P. to Nora. her final appearance on the Ringer podcast has already happened.
I asked if I could share that story. I actually said, I'm going to tweet that story. And she said, fine. And I decided not to and just share it for the Slow News Day audience.
I think that's...
I think that it makes Justin Thomas look incredibly cool to just be sure. Like, yeah, I play golf. I play a little golf. I dabble.
Is he playing in the Waste Management Open
that's
here?
That's why he's here,
week?
Yeah.
Should have been more golfers. We
needed
more crossover.
He's a Cowboys fan. All the things I could have asked him had I not just completely short-circuited and been like, this is wild, huh?
So that's media night in a nutshell.
It's media
night. Golfers,
barrel
dudes
guy,
and barrels.
World-famous golfer, Casey Wolf, Patrick Mahomes at a riser being grilled by German reporters.
Donna Kelsey.
That's it in a nutshell. Donna Kelsey. Andy Reid talking to...
Backup offensive lineman.
You know what the most frustrating part for them must be? So it's sort of a rotating cast of people show up, they get to the riser, they get in front of Andy Reid to ask like the one question and they film it and then they leave.
Yeah.
So in a traditional press conference, you would sit there and see every question that's been asked by every person. I saw Andy Reid answer the same question about his favorite hamburger restaurant three separate times.
No.
Three separate times in 15 minutes.
What's the answer?
There were a few barbecue questions interspersed.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's like, what's your favorite barbecue place? I'm sure he's answered that a million times in his years working in Kansas City. He said they're all great. I didn't learn anything about barbecue tonight at Media Day. But the first two people did not include Tommy's Burgers from LA on their list of like which of these burger restaurants did you like the most, and then the third person did, and he was like, Tommy's is the best one.
That person did the research.
Two people missed out on their scoop, and he was just like, I love all burgers. But I just, as strange as it must be to be the head coach of the Super Bowl answering a question about burgers 6 days before the Super Bowl, imagine answering it somewhere between, I was there for about 20 minutes, which, extrapolating, he must have had to answer that question roughly 7 to 9 times.
And you know he's probably going to get burger questions like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Isn't it Fermi's paradox that says that like the universe is so vast and keeps repeating, like just goes beyond, there has to be aliens? Like you just extrapolate 6 days worth of press conferences and you're just going to get inevitably just a ton of burger questions.
You reach the pinnacle of your profession. You're a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sentenced to a life of burger questions. He loves it, though.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He'd probably rather answer that, though, than like the 16th.
Or talk
what does
scheme.
It feel like
to coach Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, or to like, play against the
Tom
Eagles.
Brady, that'd be great.
I need to confirm this.
This is the last thing I want to talk about. Tom Brady on his podcast got Patrick Mahomes. I'm looking this up. Here we go. He got in one episode Bill Belichick, Peyton Manning, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady's parents, and Patrick Mahomes.
Look, Tom Sr. is like very gettable.
He also got Patrick
learned.
Mahomes and congratulatory wishes from Oprah Winfrey, and they put it in one hour and 12 minutes.
You see,
episode.
That's bad podcast.
You gotta break
spread
it up
it out.
In parts. I want Oprah. You put Oprah in the episode title. I don't care if it lasted a minute. You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like you have.
Who is booking the show?
Jim Gray.
You have a bunch of NFL people on your podcast this week, but instead of putting them all in one episode, you also have Roger Sherman and Lindsey Jones.
It's called filler.
Exactly.
Jared Goff.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Goff.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Jared Goff, he's here with Gillette and P&G. What's going on, Jared Goff?
Oh, nothing, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm at Radio Row. You are very lucky to not be here. It's just wall-to-wall radio, carpet. I don't know. Have you ever been to Radio Row?
I have. And I'm very, very happy to be doing this over Zoom.
You chose correctly. I'd love to be in your kitchen or wherever the hell you are right now. Because, it's Radio Row is hit and miss. I want to start here. I was in Detroit this year and last year, and in both years, there were people inside the building who swore to me that you were not the stopgap option bridge quarterback who would get replaced quickly and that you could have more of an extended stay in Detroit. How good did it feel? I know it's a sports radio question, but how good did it feel to win, to establish something, and frankly, to shut people up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it always feels good to play well. And, you know, there's always a million narratives that go on, certainly when you play quarterback. And, you know, breaking those narratives is sometimes harder than people creating them. But yeah, it was fun to play well. And I think it was fun to play well with the guys we played well with. And, you know, I think back, you know, sometimes, you know, when one team doesn't believe in you, it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't believe in you. And I think that's what, you know, may have gotten confused amongst the national audience is that one group of people didn't. It doesn't mean everyone didn't.
When did you know Dan Campbell was a different dude?
the day I met him. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to play for, man. He's really cool. And he does a lot of fun things that keep it light.
Can you give me an example? Can you give me something that no one would expect from Dan Campbell? I mean, I think that we all, again, kind of going back to what we're talking about, I think everyone kind of sees like the kneecap biting press conference, and he's not really that guy. Like he can be, but he's also can be very authentic. He appeals to the players in different ways. Can you give me some specifics on just how he manages that locker room?
Yeah, I think the main thing that people don't know about him is his intelligence and yeah. You know, even more importantly, maybe is like his emotional intelligence, how much he's able to feel the room and understand how to coach different guys and how to be a leader. You know, he's one of the best leaders I've been around. And but yeah, I think his intelligence in just the X's and O's as well and football and understanding the whole 22 and everything that we're trying to do offensively and defensively is not something that he'll often speak about to the media. And maybe it's because he wants people to think that he's a meathead or I don't know, but he's not, right. He's very smart and he's very, very in tune with everything that's going on. And, he's a lot of fun to play for.
Does he ever, I mean, what are the animations like in meetings? Because I've heard Ben Johnson has told me sometimes he'll just get up and start blocking a chair or whatever. I mean, whenever he's in these meetings, like, can you take me through how he brings certain things to life?
Yeah. I mean, he's very animated. He's always walking around. He's always using his hands. He'll include certain players when he's talking. He'll you know, call players' names out and talk to them personally during these meetings. There's never a dull moment. That's for sure. I remember at one point this year, he just pulled up a chair and sat in front of us and just talked to us for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. When things were bad and just had some, you know, real thoughts and emotions for us. And, he keeps it real, man. He keeps it as real as anybody I've been around. He's extremely genuine and, is a lot of fun to play for.
Let's do some quick hits. Were you over Hard Knocks this year being in the, it being the third time you've been on?
Yes, I was very much over it, but they did a hell of a job. This was my best experience with it by far. I thought they did a hell of a job giving us our space and, like, you know, documenting things, but at the same time, not like getting into our business and being in our, you know, being in our nose on everything. It was very, very well done by them.
What in particular? I mean, was it, I don't want to say annoyance. You didn't use that word, but was it just like, I just don't, it's the third time I've done this. I don't want them in our meeting room, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And we're at work, you know, if you're at work and you got a camera on you and, you know, you feel like you don't feel like every conversation is recorded and, you can't really speak freely and you can't really, you know, be yourself at times. That's what makes it a little bit difficult. But, again, I thought this year they handled it well. That crew is incredible and did a hell of a job with us. And, my one request for them was not to allow a camera in the quarterback room, and they obliged that, which helped make it a little bit smoother.
So you guys just went wild in the quarterback room, right? Right, the quarterback just did the craziest room stuff in the world.
Hedonism and just wildness. Yeah.
Booze flowing the whole time. I know. Yeah. I got you, brother. I heard meeting Eminem was weird.
From who?
I have sources. I have sources in the building. I heard meeting Eminem was weird.
Meeting Eminem was one of the coolest things that I've ever done. He is in that, like, top, I don't know how many people. We all have them, you know, that those people that, like, truly are, you know, starstruck from. And for me, he's one of those. And getting to meet him and talk to him for, you know, briefly for a minute. And it was cool. It was really cool. And now being in Detroit and like him, a Detroit legend, it was a cool moment.
You're a huge golfer. Are my sources correct on that? Big golfer, yeah, friends with Jim Nance?
I'm pretty good, but I like to do it.
Where are we golfing in the offseason? What's your territory? Because there's a whole crew. Like, Mahomes is out there all the time. Josh Allen, they're all on the links. Like, do you see other quarterbacks golfing? Are there events? Like, what does the offseason golf schedule look like?
Yeah, you know, I've played in that Tahoe tournament where you will see some of those guys. I may do that again this year. But yeah, I play out here in LA. I live in LA. I play here in LA. That's most of where my golf happens is in the offseason. I really don't play at all from, you know, middle of July through whenever the season ends. So I try to squeeze in a little bit right now, definitely early on in the off season, and then try to get a little bit more in as I go. But something I love doing. I'm not very good at it, but I love doing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much universal experience, Jared. Right. Everybody sucks at it, and we can't stop playing it. That's just sort of how it works. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a god on third and fourth downs. Why is that, and what's the chemistry like with you guys?
You said he's a god, huh?
A god. On those downs, no, I got my colleague Ben Solak wanted me to ask this question because he's cheering it on.
Specifically, his name Amon-Ra means sun god, and maybe in another life, it meant third down god. Who knows? he's a hell of a player, man. We love having him, and he does a good job getting himself open. And you know, he's very friendly at the catch point, very good at route runner, and is a lot of fun to throw to, a lot of fun to work with. He's very intense. He practices hard. He does everything you want in a player. And I'm very happy to have him and play with him.
Ben Johnson coming back means what to you?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. It means I don't have to learn a new offense, and it means I got my guy back. you know, it means I get to, you know, have another year with him at least, and hopefully a lot more. But he's a guy that I've grown so close to, and, you know, one of my favorite coaches I've had. And, you know, our communication reached a really good point this year, and reached a point where, you know, we were so much on the same page throughout the game. I knew what he was going to call. I knew why he was calling it. And I think that's so important for a coach and a quarterback. And it was really helpful. It was really, really helpful having him and being able to work with him.
What do you think it says about the Lions that he wanted to come back and keep building on what you had this year? Because there's not a lot of coordinators who had that much interest. And you and I both know that interest was very, very, very real from a lot of organizations to come back, to buy into what Dan Campbell's doing. I mean, I remember talking to Ben a couple of years ago, and he was basically saying that he's propelled. He's so loyal to Dan. He's propelled by just not letting Dan down. He wants to succeed for Dan because of the trust that Dan's put into him throughout his career. What does it say that he wanted to come back?
Yeah, I think he knows what we have. I think he knows, you know who he gets to coach on offense, certainly, and you know how much belief he has in Dan and where our defense is going and Brad. And I think ultimately he knows that those opportunities, you know, hopefully will come again for him. And, you know, maybe it wasn't his time, but having, I guess, maybe his fallback plan being our offense and what we can do offensively is a pretty good plan for him. And certainly we're happy to have him back. So it's going to be a fun year, and I'm excited. I know I'm excited, and I know the rest of our offense is excited to keep working with him.
What have you learned about Detroit as a sports town in your 2 years there?
The passion is unmatched. It's unlike anything I've experienced. You know, not to knock any of my former fan bases, but when I played at Cal in the Pac-12, you know, it's not like the SEC. It's fun, but it's not the SEC. And then I went to LA when the Rams were brand new back there, and the home games, you know, weren't always, you know, majority Rams fans. And that's just the product of building a fan base there, which is just ultimately how it goes. But coming to Detroit and being able to experience that is so fun, and not just football, but hockey and basketball and you know, and baseball with the Tigers. It's a whole lot of fun, and I've enjoyed it.
What specifically, like, if you're walking in down the street trying to get a coffee, whatever, people talk to you, like, what's different about the Detroit fan than the Los Angeles fan?
That's a good question. I think in LA, you know, very specifically LA, people want photos. They want to take selfies. And in Detroit, they just want to say hi, or they want to, you know, just say good luck, or hey, go Lions. That's mostly the experience I've experienced. And that's not to say that the people here in LA don't say that too, but I guess it's more of like an Instagram world in LA, and in Detroit, it's not quite that much.
We got to get people in Detroit signed up for Instagram and TikTok. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Instagram and TikTok are
maybe that's what it is. I think, you know, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're onto something.
Market share. Maybe you should bring it. Maybe you should start your own social media in Detroit and just become a billionaire, because it sounds like they need to get on there. You're planning a wedding. What have you learned about planning a wedding?
Keep your mouth shut. Do your best to be supportive and say yes to everything.
That's pretty much how I got married a few years ago in Malibu, actually, kind of your stomping grounds. I just, whatever my wife wanted, sounds good. I'll be there at 3 p.m. on Saturday. See you there.
Just tell me when and where, and I'm good.
Love it. We do a thing called Club Kevin. It's kind of our Hall of Fame. You can induct anybody in the world you want to induct. Could be a TV show, could be an athlete you're watching. Doesn't matter. Who are you inducting?
White Lotus.
Yes. Yes. What do we like about it?
It's one of the better TV shows I've seen in the last handful of years. The season one I thought was good, and then season two blew it out of the water. It was fun. I watched it with my fiance and gave us something to do during the season, but we really enjoyed it.
I was on the plane yesterday to Phoenix, and my seatmate next to me was watching White Lotus season one, episode one. And I was so jealous. I was like, I wish I could go back and just start the journey again. I'm so upset that this person is experiencing it, because I know it all. Who was your favorite actor or actress in either season?
Ooh, it's gotta be Coolidge. In both seasons, right? She's kind of the fun one. Oh, and
absolutely.
Pretty disappointed. I hope I don't spoil it. Pretty disappointed about how things ended for her, but you know, it'll be fun. See where season three goes.
Let's see. Hopefully she's got like a long lost sister or something that can just recast her.
Right.
The magic of television. Tell us what you're doing with Gillette and PNG.
Yeah, so I'm participating in the Battle of the Paddles. It'll be live on Twitch Sports on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be fun. I get to represent Gillette and show up with a clean shave, feeling confident, ready to play, ready to feel good. Game good is our phrase here. And it'll be fun, man. I'm excited for it.
It's a whole crew there. Trevor Lawrence, Christian McCaffrey, all those fellas.
Yeah. Those guys will be there. And, you know, hopefully they don't run into me. But, it'll be fun.
Are you talented with the paddles?
I like to think so. And I've been saying that for, you know, this is about my 10th interview in a row of saying I'm going to win. So I'll continue doing that, saying I'm going to win. And, you know, if I do win, great. If I don't, then I'll have to eat my words, but I feel pretty good.
Jared Goff, thank you so much for coming on Sunday Newsday, man.
All right. Thank you, man.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.